flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling on this Wednesday morning. Well, we're getting closer to the Eagles in Washington, the NFC Championship game, back in the beautiful city of Philadelphia. Now, it's really cold today. Fortunately, it won't be as cold on Sunday, but my God, if you're just waking up, bundle like quadruple up today.
It hurts to breathe.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's like needles going in your lungs. It's horrible.
It is. So look, Be smart with the clothes today, and don't go out if you don't need to. All right, Eagles.
Were
Washington.
You smart with the clothes today?
Yeah, I got the scarf on again.
Is that enough? What is that called? An ascot?
Yeah, he's wearing an ascot.
Would you
under
knock it off?
The zip up.
It's
he
a
went
scarf.
Scarf underneath.
Yeah, it's an ascot.
The zip up.
Come on,
fancy to camera.
You're an ascot.
So did you put
sweatpants
underneath your jeans today?
No, just the singular pants. Because I knew I would be indoors for most of the day.
Did you double up on the socks today?
No, because I'm indoors for most of the day. I mean, all I had to do was, you know.
Well, you were indoors for most of the day when you were putting sweatpants under your jeans also.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but we had to walk, if you remember.
I do remember.
Yeah, from that parking lot. Yeah, that's true.
Different deal, different spot here. All right, so score one for the Hammer. Good morning to you. All right, Flyers, they win. Sixers lose by, you ready for this? 35 last night.
Can I give you a Sixers fun fact?
Sure.
The Sixers need to go 26-14 over their last 40 games to reach 500.
Wow.
And I am so grossed
right?
out.
Right? Like that, I thought about this morning. That hits you hard,
well,
right?
Well, the last 2 weeks really hurt them. They were
right,
tracking.
I have a fun fact.
Yeah.
Forget that. Ahoy was the original greeting that was used when people answered the phone. Ahoy.
Wow.
Oh, that is a fun
fact. Was offered up by Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone. Actually, there is some debate as to whether he actually invented it, but he suggested ahoy, and Thomas Edison is the one who popularized hello.
Wow. That's pretty
ahoy,
cool.
It sounds pretty classy.
I know. It's kind
it's
of
a good
cool.
fact.
I think I want to start using ahoy. When I answer the phone, ahoy. Ahoy.
You should.
I think I'm going to try to pull it off.
I want you to do it and then give us an update about how it's going, people respond.
I will.
I like that.
Remind me.
I will.
At least, yeah, remind me for the update purposes.
It is being written down, and I will remind you next week, and we'll see how it's going.
Thank
all right,
you.
So ahoy to you, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. By the way, Eagles.
Wait, now you can't steal it.
Well, it was more tongue in cheek.
You're kind of watering down my whole purpose.
Fair enough. I'll lay off. All right, 8 o'clock today, your opportunity to hear a name that can get you tickets to win tickets to the Eagles game versus Washington. So be tuned in 2 hours.
It's a big game, isn't it?
It is a big game. And if you miss Sirianni, And if you miss Sirianni on our program yesterday, we're going to air that interview coming up in about a half hour because we covered a lot of ground with Nick on the last game, but obviously on this upcoming game, Jalen's status, the whole deal, Jake Elliott. So we're gonna get to that coming up at about 6:35 today. All right. 215-592-9494 for you to weigh in. Let's get to the Hurts thing. So, obviously a big day today. First day the Eagles will practice. One of three practice days before this game. It'll be fascinating, you know, sometime later in the afternoon to find out. Full participant, limited participant, no practice. I would expect he will practice. My gut feeling is he'll be limited participant, but we'll see. But the real deal is Sunday, when we know he's going to play. And just FYI, Sirianni told us yesterday they are preparing game plan-wise with the idea that he will play, which is great.
Think about how significant that is.
Yeah, no, I know. That's big. I didn't expect him to say otherwise.
I'm shocked he said
it. He plays it so close
to
the vest.
I'm shocked Nick said it. Yeah, he never says anything about that kind of stuff.
I was floored that he said it. I was floored that he went there already and said he's. Yeah,
I think it's because it's the quarterback, and I think it's because it's
a confidence thing, and it's clear to everyone that you push through when it's the playoffs.
No, I agree with that. No, I totally agree with that. So I guess the question I'm getting at here today, and curious where you stand at 215-592-9494, knowing that it's extremely likely he will play, but also likely that he'll be limited in some way. I mean, we saw him very limited in the second half the other day. How concerned are you?
I don't know that we saw very limited. I'm not concerned that the way he runs or his range will be affected. I think some of what we saw in that game was he was affected like everyone else was by the fact that the field was a sheet of ice. That's part of it.
That was probably part of it.
The problem. Mm-hmm. Everyone just they forget that part. Oh, he had 120 something yards passing. Oh, well, by the way, no one could see. And
Saquon could run effectively though in the second half.
I get it, but they couldn't see the ball in the air. They couldn't see across the field. You know, like it's a lot easier to hold on to that ball when it's handed to you in your gut than when it's flying through the air and you can't see it. It's amazing that the field conditions have already been forgotten about in that game. You know, but Jalen, his presence, the threat of his run is what we did not have when we just lost to this Washington team. And we will have it this time around. Just a pull read, every quarter or so. And the defense must stay honest. And I am not look, it's the playoffs. He is playing. He played a quarter and a half after the injury. He will be back out there. He will be running. He will be keeping. I am not worried, especially, you know, the Commanders had the third worst run defense in the NFL during the regular season. They are susceptible, even though I'm told, oh, they've gotten so much better. They're so much better defensively now that they're in the postseason. Well, Washington just gave up 31 points, even though Jared Goff gave the ball back to him repeatedly. Remember, five turnovers. Yep. The Lions had an awful, awful time, just kept giving it back. Washington still gave up 521 yards on Saturday. That's an awful lot. And through the playoffs, 48 carries, 302 yards on the ground.
Against
that defense, 6.3 yards a carry in the postseason. Jalen's going to tough it out, and we now have to defeat a team that did us a favor when you think about
it. There's no question about that.
The Lions, and our Eagles now have the easiest path, and we're the best team left. So think about that.
No, I get that.
I'll take that.
Well, so here's the thing. I take that too, but I just wish Jalen wasn't banged up. I am curious where you stand at 215-592-9494 if it worries you. Here's where I'm at.
One last thing. The fact that Nick said Jalen is our guy. The fact that Nick, who plays it so close to the vest all the time, he is saying there's no doubt at all that Jalen's going to be out there. He told us they're preparing with him as the quarterback of the team.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me.
Well, no, me too. I mean, I think that speaks more to it's a playoff game, so Jalen's going to push to play. And the injury isn't serious enough that he's physically incapable of playing. But there's a difference between being physically incapable and being physically unlikely to play your best. And that's my concern as it relates to him, as it relates to the game. Look, I think there's two main ways. I think the Eagles are going to win. So let me just start with this. I'm curious where you stand, 215-592-9494, the extent to which this situation worries you. So I'm worried a decent amount, but not to the extent that I think Washington will win. I think the Eagles will win the game. I want to say that pretty clearly. I said it Monday. I'll say it Friday. I think the Eagles are going to win. But I think most of us would probably agree with this sentiment. There are two main ways the Eagles lose, and I'm not going to give you if they turn the ball over more than Washington. We all know that, okay? That's kind of a given in football. Within the crux of the game, I think there are two main ways that if these things happen, the Eagles are much more likely to lose. One is if Jaden Daniels just goes wild. If Jaden Daniels is just way, way more advanced than most to the point where he keeps it going as a rookie, and every once in a while, a young player like Magic Johnson, 1980, is just so advanced that it defies the normal expectation and can lead a team to greatness that was unexpected. So one is if Daniels goes wild, which is possible. Two is if Jalen Hurts is compromised to the point where it really affects the Eagles' offense. And I can't act like that's not inconceivable. I mean, here's the problem with Jalen if he's not able to run as effectively. There's two things to it. One is, does it make Saquon less effective if the ends and the linebackers don't honor the threat of Jalen running?
We've seen what that looks like.
We have.
When we have a different quarterback in the
game. Right, that's
right.
We've
seen what that looks
like.
That's
right. So that would be a concern if he can't turn the corner, if he doesn't keep it, as John said, once a quarter to keep the defense honest. And not to get 2 yards, but to get 8 yards, right? Because that's the idea. When Jalen runs, he doesn't run with the idea of, other than a quarterback sneak, let's get 2 yards. He's trying to get 8 yards. So if you don't get that, that would hurt, and that could affect Saquon. There's no question that is a possibility. The other thing is if Jalen has to resort to being just more of a pure pocket passer because he can't run as effectively, and they don't want to run Saquon Barkley 38 times in the game, which I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to have 38 runs in the game.
I think, what does it matter? I mean, if it's working, you might hand him the ball 38 times.
You might, but that's so unlikely. I mean, when's the last time?
Well, why is it unlikely?
When's the last time?
The best pass.
I'll give you an answer. When is the last time a running back had 38 carries in a pro football game?
When's the last time we had Saquon Barkley on our team?
Well, the Eagles
have
had him all year. They've had him all year and haven't given him 38 times.
We've not been.
Did the Giants ever give it to him 38 times? I hear you. I'm not saying don't lean on Saquon more. I'm telling you, I don't expect he's going to have 38 carries. Which means
he could have in the. If it's me, I'm handing him the ball 30 times.
Okay. I mean, look.
I just don't think it's that far-fetched.
Well, here's,
I think we should readjust our expectations.
Hey,
these last two games, we're going to do everything possible to pull out all the stops. If that means running it 50 times, we're going to run it 50 times.
Well, they might, but that might be a little bit more of you know, Gainwell. You know, it could be a 30 to 15 thing if you want to get to 45
maybe.
Carries. Maybe.
Also, with receptions, you could get him to touches in that range.
You can
maybe
do all that.
But 30, so for what it's worth, 39 carries, the list I'm looking at, the last time someone had 39 carries in a game, in any game in the NFL, was in 2009.
Okay, well, yeah. All right, so here's where I'm at. If Jalen has to be a pure pocket passer more because he doesn't have the legs, like what we saw in the second half, it can lead to the sacks, it can lead to the bog down, it can lead to the punts. So that's what you don't want. So am I concerned? Yeah, I'm going to give you, of course I'm concerned. I mean, I don't see how you see the second half of that game the other day. And frankly, what Jalen's put out there this year, when, I mean, you know, A.J. Brown has 3 catches in 2 games. I mean, now, I know the snow is a part of it, and John, I do get you on that.
And he dropped a couple.
Uh-huh. And he had two big drops.
What about that part?
You know, that's legitimate as well. But here's the deal. Even if he caught those 2 balls, he'd have 5 catches in 2 games.
Okay.
Still not, you know, still not very good. So am I concerned? Yes. Am I concerned at the point I'm picking Washington? No. But I can't sugarcoat it, guys, and act like this isn't a thing. I think it is. All right, where do you stand on it? 215-592-9494. We'll go through a lot of other aspects of the game as well. This one, though, clearly a very big one, particularly on a day like this on Wednesday, where we'll find out in a couple hours if Jalen practices full participant or not. I expect he'll be out there, but if I had to guess, limited participation is my expectation for today's practice. Great week, Eagles in Washington. Now, the Sixers thing, that's a whole nother matter. And we'll get to it. AMA, today at 7. You ask, we answer. The key, of course, get those questions in. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line, 3 ways you can interact with the show, in addition to the phone lines. All right, how concerned are you on the Hurts injury front? What do you make of it? I mean, I think the simple thing is to say that the greatness of the team will, in all likelihood, overcome anything that no, I don't say anything, a less than Jalen. But you never know. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. I'll give you one thing before we go to the phones. Looking back on it, gut feeling, from my standpoint, and maybe the Phillies would have lost anyway, but gut feeling, Jeff Hoffman was injured in the playoffs. I mean, James.
Oh, yeah, clearly. He failed two physicals.
He failed multiple physicals in his free agent quest.
There's no question.
There's no question he was injured.
But the difference
makes so much more sense now. Yeah.
Isn't that a great example
of
how the Jalen thing, like, because he was tremendous.
You understand he's injured all season long.
Not
all
like
these guys
not like that.
Not like this.
Not like this. Jeff Hoffman wasn't injured all season long. Jeff Hoffman was a 2 ERA guy the whole year and then became like a 30 ERA guy.
And I mean, so he was hurt, and we didn't hear the details.
And they lost.
It. Yeah.
But something probably happened right up before the playoffs, and, you know, because he was phenomenal. I mean, he was really a great pitcher, and then all of a sudden he was a disaster. So anyway.
And these guys are told the difference between a good player and a great player is consistency. And the difference between a good player and a great player is, can you fight through when you don't feel quite as good?
Part of it.
When it's that, you know, that
sure.
morning and you're so sore. That's taking it to the next level as a pro, as a professional athlete. Can you do it consistently when you don't feel great? And that's the part that's really hard. That's the part that, I don't know, gets, there's no way of tracking that. You know, the want to. And what I appreciate so much about Jalen is that want
to. Oh, he's great at that.
That goes unspoken.
No question. I
and
agree
we,
with you.
It's so much so that we just don't even know, we don't even acknowledge, we don't even realize when he's hurt. And then he has a surgery when the season ends to fix the ankle that he was dealing with the whole season. You know, that's why I don't worry.
Okay. All right, well, let's go to the phones. What do you make of it? 215-592-9494. Eric in Mount Airy kicks us off. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
What's up, Eric?
Man, I want to talk about Jalen Hurts. I want to talk about the hate. I just hate it so much, because what other quarterback does what Jalen Hurts does and gets the same amount of hate? I just don't understand it.
Well, there's no, just to be clear, there's no hate here. I mean, we're just evaluating him as a
player. Hate here, of course. I'm talking about throughout the league.
Well, there's a lot of criticism, I think, in terms of his passing.
But Eric, here's, I'm going to give you an objection right out of the gate on your call. Who hates him? Give me a name of someone in America that hates him.
Chris Sims.
Chris Sims might hate him.
I don't think he hates him.
I don't know, man.
I think Chris Sims
might hate him.
Here's what Chris Sims is. Chris Sims is a fool who had a position and refuses to move off that position even when Jalen plays better, and is dug in a way that people say he hates him. I don't think he hates him. He is an idiot.
Yes, an idiot.
That's different. That's different than hating somebody.
He's too dumb to hate him.
I know you're, Eric, I know you're using that term in the way we talk about it from a sports standpoint, but I just get frustrated because sometimes people put me in that category, and I know it's unfair. I mean, I evaluate Jalen based on what I see. It has nothing to do with hate. I wish he played better, and I talk about that.
Of course, I wish he played better too.
Okay.
But I'm all right with him throwing for 120 yards and no turnovers. The biggest point is no turnovers. And
yeah. It's huge.
Every day and a win.
Well, yeah.
Look at his numbers and compare him to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen specifically didn't need to throw much to win that game, to advance to the AFC Championship game. And his numbers look almost exactly like Jalen.
In that game, yes.
But
in a lot of games, Josh Allen slings it around a lot
more. Josh Allen, the reason that he's good this year, the reason that he's better this year is because he's taking more of a page out of Jalen's book and being parsimonious with the football. He's making the, I don't know, crotchety decision this year not to make that throw, not to take that risk. And everyone's applauding him. Look at Josh Allen, the maturity that he's showing this season. Well, Jalen shows that maturity too. And he gets skewered for it by people who say he doesn't take those risks. He wins the games. Just the way Josh Allen's winning those games, it's almost carbon copied.
Yeah, but here's what I'd say to that. We know that Jalen should throw the ball away more. We saw Foles do it.
Well, that was the
just do that.
That is the major downfall in this last game. I don't understand. And I'm trying to figure out, when is it better to eat it and take the sack then throw it away? Is that what we were witnessing? Was he coached up?
Well,
hey,
don't
the
you
risk
think
is too great. Just eat it. I don't know.
Don't you
I don't
think
know.
That's where the injury comes into play? And that's what concerns me, because I think, like, when you talk about the safety, for example, normally I think he in his head could scramble and get away from that.
I don't know.
But
it was
couldn't.
An unblocked
I think that's
player
his
in his
I
face.
It's
the center's man. There is no time to escape that when the center's man.
Well, I think
is
it was
unblocked.
A terrible play call to begin with, but I think.
See,
that
and
that's
I disagree with that. There's a receiver
game.
Right open in the middle of the field. Just throw the ball. But if you don't, then I agree with you. And look, John, I hear you. Up the middle, that is tough. If a center gets beat, then it's limited time. I get that. But Devin, to your point, if he has a normal knee in that spot, decent chance he gets away from
right.
that guy. Decent.
Right.
We don't know for sure. We'll never know, but, you know. 215-592-9494. Rhea, how concerned are you?
About his, I'm concerned because if you go back, the Washington game was kind of when he got injured, when he got the concussion, was kind of when I veered off and started going like how important Jalen is to this offense. Because if you remember in that game, you know, Saquon was having a great game in the first half, I think like 100 yards, only had 50 in the second half. And so it is a concern, but I feel better about this game because of the defense.
I feel better about the whole season because of the defense. Well, I think the Eagles are going to win. Look, Sirianni said in the locker room after the game, championship level defense. And it's interesting. He doesn't normally go to things like the word championship. Yeah. I think he knows, and in a private moment that became public, was willing to say that.
Well, because
they are.
Because in that game, if CJGJ doesn't get tossed,
I think they win
that game. They scored 22 fourth quarter points.
Yeah.
Remember, I think Slay was out of that game, and they just went after Tristan McCollum. So to me, you know, CJGJ is so critical, and he's got to stay, you know.
Sure.
But those referees were brutal.
No, I remember
all that.
They were
real sensitive.
Yeah.
But I feel great about this defense keeping the game, you know, where it should be, so the offense can muddle through if they have to because of Jalen's injury.
Well, they probably will muddle through it because, honest to God, even when he's not injured, it typically is a muddle. I mean, it really is. I mean, how many times this year with a great defense have the Eagles had a game that hangs in the balance in the fourth quarter? It's like almost every game.
No.
It really is. James, how concerned are you as it relates to the knee?
It's really my only huge concern. I mean, Jake's a concern, but the knee's it. Like, I think if Jalen's healthy, they're winning the game. And I think if he's not, I still think they win the game. I think we all agree.
Yep.
Look, I think he just threw for 100 and something yards. They won. He threw for 100 and something yards the game before that. They won. They can win this way. The issue is the knee, and can he move, and can the run game, you know, be facilitated because of that? So for me, it all comes down to his knee. Like, I feel great otherwise.
All right, so Eagles, obviously the main thing. I do want to get to one Sixers thing. If you missed it last night, they played, you know, Denver and got smoked. I mean, they got really smoked. No Embiid. You get all the other guys playing, but no Embiid. When I say all, you know, you get your George and Maxi. Every game is viewed through the big three guys and who plays. So George and Maxi play. By the way, thanks to Paul George, his participation last night in the event, in the no Embiid game, 11 points. Right?
He gets a participation trophy.
11.
There we go.
11 points. So we really needed you there, big guy. What is it? $210 million for Paul George, something like that? All right. So after the game.
Another boneheaded play.
I know. Rhea's had this in the updates. There was discussion amongst reporters after the game that there was. How would you frame it, Rhea? Consternation in the Sixers locker room?
Screaming and screaming curses, profane language, as they like to call it.
But a lot of loud screaming in the Sixers locker room after the game. We weren't there, but certain reporters are reporting it. So Tyrese Maxey, after the locker room was opened, after that happened, reporters get in there, and Maxey commented on what's going on. And doesn't do a deep dive on like what was happening in that moment, although he said, you know, players really want to win, a lot of competitive guys. And then he said something I think that really speaks to the frustration a lot of the players got to feel. Maxey probably more than anybody because, you know, I mean, he's one of the main three guys, and of the main three, he's played the most. And you can hear Tyrese Maxey's frustration postgame.
It's hard to win in this league for sure. You know, it's hard to not be healthy. It's hard to not have all your guys. It's hard to not have your best player. It's hard, man. It's difficult. It's already difficult to win with all those guys. It makes it extremely difficult when guys are out, guys are missing, and then guys come back. It makes it extremely difficult. So, you know, that's just frustration. But at the end of the day, Coach Nurse said something that was extremely correct as far as, man, we're all professionals in here. You can do the basics. You can do the stuff of, like, being on time and being present and going out there and doing the fundamentals. You know what I'm saying? So he believes in everybody in here. And that's the coach that you want to have on your side.
All right. So there's so much in there.
Wow.
Right?
Being on time.
Right? Wow. Right? Right?
Heard that.
Fundamentals.
Yep.
So how many people did he just call out besides Joel?
Maybe everyone.
Who are we talking about exactly?
I have no idea. I have no idea on that. But enough that it's a thing. And here's two different things. One, Maxey's frustrated. Two, Nick Nurse wouldn't give that speech, you know, you can do the basics, unless he knew some guys aren't doing the basics. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't say, be on time. No one from our, Rod Lakin's our boss. He hasn't told me to be on time for... What?
Ever.
Ever. Because I'm on time. Except for that time I overslept. What was that, 4 years ago?
You overslept, I want to point out, for a 10 a.m. show.
Correct, yes. Correct.
Good
my alarm got disabled. It was the whole thing.
Also, but, I will say at the end, too, I mean, a pretty strong defense of his coach at a time where his coach's job could be in question.
I agree.
But is he the only... Is he the only one?
I don't know, but it is interesting. Like, I would trust his opinion on the coach more than anyone else on the team.
I know. Anyway.
I just want to know who he was calling out besides Joel.
I mean,
was he calling Paul George out too? Was he calling Kelly Oubre out
too?
No
clue.
Well, being on time is part of the message.
Andre Drummond out too, the old guys.
I know.
I mean, we know. I can't imagine if I'm Tyrese Maxey, the guy who's showing up at 5 a.m. every day during the offseason to get an extra practice in before the sun comes up, being, I can't imagine outworking everyone in the league for that matter, and then coming home and seeing this, you know, hey, maybe we'll show up, maybe we won't.
It's a wasted it's a wasted season. I mean, he knows it. I mean, the whole thing's falling apart. I mean, now it is really
good for him
getting really might miss the playoffs.
Something in a way that's not completely alienating everybody.
Right.
I'm sure that he deliberated this for a long time. He seems like a thoughtful person. This is not something that's easy to do, to speak out while not stepping on toes.
I agree. But you know what? They might have stepped on toes on all each other's toes.
I agree.
When all those words are being thrown before reporters got
knows?
In there.
Right. Who knows exactly what the problem even is behind closed doors.
All right, so I just wanted to present that because it's a pretty big thing on what feels like a lost season with the Sixers. By the way, one other Phillies thing I want to get to, and then we'll get to the Sirianni interview. So we have a Twitter poll question of the day today. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Poll question. Now, if you missed it yesterday, Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins both fell short of the Hall of Fame. Jimmy well short. Chase a little closer, but still on the outside looking in. So they've both missed it multiple times now. We ask you this poll question. Should Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins be in the Hall of Fame? And we've got four choices here. A, yes, both of them should be in. B, Utley only. C, Rollins only. D, neither of them. How do you think it should go? To this point, they haven't made it. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Probably not for Jimmy, maybe more likely for Chase. But how do you assess it? Should they be Hall of Famers, yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's listen to Nick Sirianni. We had an extensive interview with him yesterday. A lot on the last game, a lot on the next game. Here's our conversation yesterday. Listen and then react, of course, with the phone lines. Here's our conversation with Sirianni. Nick, congrats on the win. I mean, what was the experience like for you coaching in that game? The crazy weather, the adversity, the intensity, pulling it out. What was it like to coach in a game like that from your perspective?
You know, we treat every game exactly the same. I know that's boring, but we treat every game exactly the same. Now, that doesn't mean that when the snow's on the ground, it doesn't bring you back to childhood memories of how cool it would be to play and coach in those days or in those things, but in those elements. But we went about our business, played the game how we needed to play the game to win. And it's fun. You know, it was a great win. And it's kind of cool to see the guys, you know, celebrating in the snow, after they make plays. All it did is make us hungry to get another one.
Nick, in a fourth quarter scenario like what it became in the final couple minutes, do you have time to be nervous? And what I mean by that is, like, millions of us were living and dying with every play. We don't have to call signals or, you know, substitutions. Like, do you have time? Do you feel nervous in moments like that? Or do you just have to stay so locked in that that perspective doesn't even enter your mind?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think, your nerves come before the game. Once you get in the game, you're in your routine. You're in the things that you do. You go through your process. So your mind is locked in on, it can't be locked in on being nervous because you're locked in on what you have to do and what the guys are doing and how you need to win the football game. Now, to that, you know, my brother was talking to me and said, you know, I just walked around the city for about, he wasn't at the game. He was in with his daughter in Columbus, Ohio. He's like, I just walked around the city of Columbus for the last 2 hours pacing because I couldn't watch the game. So I think that's more of a, you know, a spectator thing, I think, at the end of the day, because you know, you have to be so locked in and focused on what you have to do to help your team win, playing, coaching, everything. And so you don't have time to do that. And so you're just locked into the moment at the end of the day.
Nick, we watched Jalen Carter locked in, and he's just good beyond good, like legendary good. How different is it coaching a guy like that, a legendarily good guy?
Yeah, you know, he made some huge plays in that game, and it just in huge moments. He's special. And I think the things that – obviously, he's highly talented. And with his athletic ability, with his size, with his, you know, everything. But what goes unnoticed, I think, sometimes is his football IQ and his football instincts. I think that takes him to another level of, you know, the type of player that he is. He just has great instincts to where the football is, how to get to the quarterback, how to get to the quarterback on a single team, how to get to the quarterback on a double team. You know, how to take the football away. And I think those things are the things that have made him, have a special year. And he just continues to get better. Again, you combine talent with toughness. You combine talent with football instinct. You combine talent with, you know, loving the game of football. And you're going to get a guy that continues to get better, and I think that's what we're seeing with Jalen.
Yeah, you talk about instincts, and then you can talk about study, and what we saw from Jalen was changing the play at the line of scrimmage. You know, our quarterback is studied up and getting in the right play at the right time. Coach, if you had to guess, what percentage of the time does Jalen end up changing stuff up at the line of scrimmage?
You know, quarterback has to do a lot at the line of scrimmage. He has to get the protection call from the offensive line. He's got to change things there. You know, sometimes it's not just changing a play. You know, sometimes it's changing, you know, the direction the line may be going
sure.
in. You know, and so that's pretty standard. And I think that, you know, he does a lot of things well to get us in and out of plays. And I think that's, you know, that's really a tribute to Jalen. And how his mind works at the line of scrimmage. And so he's just done a great job of helping us get in and out of right plays to help us. You know, I know, you know, there's run looks that he gets us into a certain look that allows those to go for a big play. It's never just one person in this game that makes big plays happen, right? It takes everybody. It takes the entire team. And that's what's so cool about football. And Jalen's doing a really nice job of getting us in and out of plays.
And I agree. And we saw a lot of him doing the conservative thing in this game, changing the plays, but doing conservative things. And it felt like he was eating it so often against the Rams. Why did it feel like he was eating it instead of throwing it away more often than not?
You know, Jalen's made so many plays, extending plays. And I think that sometimes, you know, you see a sack and you're like, man, the sack that killed us, that sack, right? And it's never just one thing of why a sack happens, right? There's many things that contribute to a sack. But Jalen knows he can get out of a lot of things, and he has gotten out of a lot of things, meaning he's been able to extend plays so well, you know, and extend plays and throw the ball down the field, extend plays and run the ball down the field. Sometimes those get overlooked. Okay, we took 5 sacks or whatever it was, 7 sacks in the game. But how many times did he extend the play and make a bigger play out of it that if he would have thrown it away, it wasn't there? And so that he has this ability, this uncanny ability to do that. And you never want to take that away from a guy. Now you don't want to take a lot of sacks either. So there's a fine line in that. But he makes way more plays than sacks taken. So again, you live with that a little bit, and like I said, I just can't say enough good things about how well Jalen's playing and taking care of the football and getting us in and out of plays, making big plays in moments that we need it, big runs, big throws. You don't win 16 games in a year and your quarterback not playing efficient, solid football, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Nick Sirianni here with us right now. Nick, more on Jalen. How's the knee? And do you expect him to practice tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, that we obviously play that each day. You know, I know he'll do everything he can do to be at his top strength. I know he's a warrior. I know he will get himself ready to go. And we'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow where he is and where the rest of the guys are when we get there.
Are you preparing game plan-wise confident that he will definitely play, or is there some uncertainty there?
Yeah, you know, you prepare for everything. He came back in the game, played in the game. We're preparing as, you know, with him being the quarterback, just like you go through each week. So, like I said, tomorrow where everybody is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell, do you get a sense yet on his status?
We'll see.
I know.
We'll see tomorrow, and I hate not answering your guys' questions.
I understand,
but I don't want to put. We're there. We're not there yet. You know, we play everything day by day, and
sure.
We're really hopeful. And I know again, Q's going to do everything he can do to get himself ready to go and be at top speed.
Nick, why does it feel like offensively the tempo offense seems to open things up for us?
Yeah, a couple different reasons for that. I'm not going to get into too much of that, but we've been successful at our tempo offense for the last couple years, and always been an emphasis for us of going fast. I think Jalen does a really nice job of playing fast at the line of scrimmage, getting the call, communicating the call to everybody, and defenses now has to. They have to react, right? They don't have time to huddle up. They don't have time mm-hmm. to recognize formations. They don't have time to call out, hey, it's first and 10, or expect this or expect that. They got to get the call in and get everybody on the same page there and then react to the play. So it's just been something that I think that we've excelled at as an offense for, the last couple of years. And, Jalen does a really nice job. When he's at the line of scrimmage.
So much goes into getting ready for these games. The extra day of practice for the Commanders, how much does that help them this time of year?
You never know how they use that day. Did they use that day for rest? Did they use that extra day? Like, at this point in the year, you're trying to get everybody healthy to get to the game. So it might be an extra day of rest, but I'm not sure they get an extra day of practice. I mean, we'll see how that goes. We'll see. They have to put out a report anytime they practice anyway, so we'll see what they do with that. I think we had an extra day going into L.A. They have an extra day going here into the L.A. game. They have an extra day here. We'll be ready. I know they'll be ready.
Nick, you sticking with Jake Elliott for Sunday? Obviously, a lot of missed kicks lately. You sticking by him?
Yes, for sure. For sure. He's 6 for 6 in the playoffs on field goals and in adverse conditions. I got a lot of faith in Jake, and I know he's clutch when we need him to be clutch.
Does he have confidence issues?
No, I think Jake is pretty solid. I think if to see a guy miss a kick and then come back, I think it shows the exact opposite, actually. Like, to see a guy miss a kick and then come back under those circumstances and the conditions. Again, we'll never use the conditions as an excuse, but the conditions were the conditions. It's going to make it more difficult for any kicker to kick the ball. And I think it showed, again, like I said, it shows just the opposite. He misses an extra point early in the game and then nails 3 field goals. So I think it shows just the opposite, that he is able to put the next, embrace the adversity, put it in the past and play the current play. And that's what I love about Jake.
Sure. And facing Jaden Daniels, up and coming young quarterback, what makes Jaden Daniels so good?
Yeah, obviously he's having a phenomenal year. We've seen it watching it from afar. We've seen it in person, and this guy's a really good player. As we all see, I think he does a good job of being able to extend plays. He does a good job of reading plays out and being accurate with throws. It looks like he's a good player. He's a really good player, and we'll have to be ready to, contain him in this game.
Nick, final thing here. I know you like to keep it very similar week by week. I'm curious if demands on you have increased yet with the team deeper in the playoffs now. I mean, we know Super Bowl week, things are just, wildly different. Have things kicked in yet in a different way, media-wise and otherwise, to create, differences for you?
Yeah, you know, we keep, like you said, we keep it similar. I think I have one more press conference this week than I normally do. I think that's the rule, is that I got to do one on Thursday. So instead of Wednesday, Friday, I got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll keep it at that.
Gotcha. Yep. All right, Nick, good luck on Sunday. Needless to say, you got millions of people behind you and your squad for this game, and the city's really excited and proud of what you guys have accomplished, and the absolute best of luck for the game Sunday versus Washington.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that was Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. Interview we did late in the program yesterday, so wanted to bring it to you in the early portion of today's show.